The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Wonderful Wednesday as I get to share some exceptional news. We'll get to that in a minute. Plus, heaven is God's house, so we go in his door, his way. Also, even if you can't say Mephibosheth, you should know who he was and is.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. That's for praise requests. That's for prayer reports. Did I say that backwards? It's for prayer requests and praise reports and for trivia. Oh, yeah? You want to have some fun right off the bat? Let's have some trivia. Right off the bat, how about that? Here we go. Before we even get going, there are two lines, two genealogies that it says Jesus comes from in the very beginning of Matthew. What are those two lines? Who are those two people that are referenced? If you think you know, you'll be coming strong out of the gate. 972-445-0770. See, that's the number to call because we're going to get trivia going right away. Any topic, by the way, is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I think I've proven that. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Okay, so I've already dropped a trivia right off the bat. That's kind of cool, huh? Bottom line, there are two major players from the Old Testament that are connected to the lineage, to the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It talks about it in the beginning of Matthew. Who were they? Who were they? 972-445-0770. Are you ready for some incredible news? Wonder Julie, are you ready for the best news since we've done the show?
Yes.
After 114 days in the hospital.
Oh, baby Easton get to come home?
Baby Easton went home yesterday.
Yay!
So that is the best news that we've had in, I mean, quite some time. So they, it's not that he went home and everything was perfect, but it was sustainable. And my biggest issue for him going through all the things he's going through and the family going through it is once you get into a hospital, you can get easily hospital-minded. And so everything revolves around the hospital, and there's no real hope, and there's no real vision or anything like that. So your prayers are greatly appreciated. But baby Easton is home. They did announce it on Facebook. They took little pictures. They put them all over the place. He's still got quite a few stuff. He got a lot of drugs in him, to be really honest, but they're trying to, they're going to wean him off piece by piece, and I just believe that this will be a great step for him in recovery. So we just want everybody to be lifting him up in prayer. Baby Easton is home. Praise the Lord. And we're just so happy, and we may get a chance maybe to see him today or tomorrow through Duo, which would be kind of fun. Okay? All right. So that's the exceptional news. I have some other really good news, but I'm not going to tell you what that is yet. I'll tell you that in the next segment, what that is. I will tell you one thing, and then we'll go into talk about our ministry partners. I was just mentioning to Wonder Julie, I was just telling her, you know, I'm getting into this PhD thing, and it's just this huge mountain in front of me, and I'm just trying to approach it by faith. I want to tell you how I start off my PhD program. This is the first thing I did. I wrote the professor an email already today. The class doesn't start till Monday.
you do want to pass, right?
I told him. You think I'm kidding? I apologized in advance for what was forthcoming in his life in the next 8 weeks. That's what I did because, see, with my teachers, when they say something, I'm like when you give me instructions, I'm a literalist when it comes to instructions. And if it's not clear, you will hear from me in the next few minutes. And so I told ahead of time, I'm really sorry. I feel so sorry for people who are going to be in this class. I just cannot begin to tell you. Okay, guess what? There's a couple of holidays today. Nothing super duper fantastic. Any idea what some of the holidays are?
I do not know.
All right, here you go. World Plumbing Day. Always good.
We need plumbing.
I mean, especially indoor plumbing is really good. Oatmeal Nut Waffles Day.
I do that.
A National Promposal. So that's when you ask somebody to go to the prom, I guess. The problem with that, I don't know, did you go to a prom when you were in high school or something?
Yeah, I went to a couple. Not my senior, but.
Oh. I, in fact, was kicked out of high school in 10th grade. Now, this is an absolute truth. I went to three different high schools, Scottsdale High School, Saguaro High School, and Chaparral High School. I went to all three high schools in my first year of high school. I was not a good child. These are my BC days before Christ. I'm just telling you right now. And the bottom line, at one time I went into a classroom. I had only visited the school one time. Now, I was a bad boy, so we're not going to get into all that. You know, that was my purveyor of recreational pharmaceutical time. And I walked to the classroom, and the teacher goes, oh, Mr. Spoon has arrived, and let's everybody welcome into the class. They welcomed me to class, and I said, okay, now you can all clap as I leave. And I walked out.
Must have been fun at your house.
My house was like a disaster. Stay away from the Spoon household. That's all I know. So I never went to a prom. I never even was close to a prom. Well, it's not that I was never close to a prom, but that was illegal activity during a prom, so that's different. Also, for those that want to know, this is, I thought, was, you know how you always get those one or two little facts? In 1888, on this day, they had this weather thing that took place called the Great White Hurricane. I don't know if you ever heard of this or not. And I had never heard of this before yesterday. It is one of the most famous snowstorms in all the United States, creating 50-foot snowdrifts. 50 feet. Lasted for 4 days. Basic snow that fell was 58 inches at the core. Like, wow. What, 50 feet on a snowdrift? Just like my brain, just like, wow, that's so big.
You could make one heck of a snowman with that.
That's right. You could melt. What a fort.
A fort city.
Right? You're all there. Partridge Family on this day in 1971 had their first song. Nobody remembers it. Nobody cares. I'm just telling.
I loved the Partridge Family.
I think I love you. That was.
This was
Doesn't Somebody Want to Be Wanted? Was the name. I never heard that. 1927 on this day. This is the cool thing. I always have that one cool thing. Here it is. The first armored car robbery took place on this day, March 11th, 1927. Members of the Flathead Gang, they dynamited a Brinks armored car en route outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and took over $104,000, which was worth $2 million in today's money.
Wowzers.
What's sad is the things that I am connected to or that I always pick up on when we're doing this show. You have to love me because you don't have a choice. You have to love you have to love your neighbor, and you have to love your brother and sister, and you have to love your enemy. You have no choice but to love me. Let's go in. I think we'll skip the sponsorship because it's too late, and let's go into Acts chapter 14, 21, 22. Says the following. After they had evangelized that town and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the hearts of the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith and by telling them it is necessary to pass through many troubles on our way into the kingdom of God. I want to say something that's really important. It has to do with people that are like, everything's roses, everything's perfect, everything's rainbows, everything's Skittles. There are troubles for people that are in the growth pattern, and it's really necessary for us to understand that we are to be encouraged to keep going no matter what the trouble is, that we face. Okay, somebody's calling in. He gets a trivia answer. Let's see. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is Bobby. I'm back in town. So.
Hey, Bobby, how are you, man? How are things going for you?
I'm doing good, and I heard your message on your grandson, so that's great.
Great news, isn't it? I'm really, really blessed by that. All right, Bobby. So there are two people that Jesus, it's talked about that from the genealogy point of view, that talk about descending, Jesus descended from. There are two main major characters from the Old Testament. It's right there in Matthew 1. Do you know who the two people are?
I think it's David and Jacob and the tribe of Judah.
Okay, so it's going to be Jacob's fourth, his grand, go up one, go up to his grandpa, okay? Go up to Jacob's grandpa, remember? Who is his father? It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Jacob's father was Isaac. Isaac's father was?
Abraham.
So it's Abraham and it's David. So you got that right because you were right along those lines. Here's what it is. In the first and second verse of the New Testament, Matthew 1, it talks about Jesus being descended from there. The reason that's important is because the Davidic covenant had to do with his messiahship, and the Abrahamic covenant had to do with the everlasting covenant between God and his people. And so both of those lines are together. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
That's good. I love stuff like that. But way to go. Way to step right in there. I love it. I love your courage. I love that you're listening to the show. Keep listening. Keep being a blessing. Keep checking in and giving us the answers, okay?
All right, and we'll do.
All right. Thank you, brother.
And I'll be getting on your partnership thing next month.
So okay, we're right here for you. We're here for you. I'll talk about that.
I try to go on the computer or get somebody's computer and go on it and put in for it. And if not, I'll have you send me the paperwork. My address.
You got it. I'll be talking about that in the next segment. So listen to me, and then you'll have some instructions to be able to use right from that. Okay?
All right.
You got it, brother. All right. God bless you.
Likewise.
All right. Awesome. I like that. Okay. So, yeah. So, Abraham and David. So, that's super, super huge because that was the – you know, if you think about how important – I don't know. How important do you think the first two verses are in the New Testament? That's pretty important. Thank you. Okay, there you go. All right, so I want to go back to this Acts 14:20-22. I only got about a minute or so to mention this. I don't want people to get the wrong idea when you hear me talking. I'm never trying to tell you all you're going to do is face doom and woe is me. I'm not talking about Isaiah's horse, which is woe is me. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. That was a joke. And yes, I am paid. I am sending you out those jokes. What I am talking about is that we are to encourage and strengthen one another, because guess what, folks? The scripture says it's necessary to pass through many troubles on our way. Hey, guess what? You're on your way. You're on your way to the kingdom of God, not just having the kingship of God in your life here, but to the kingdom of God for all eternity where the streets are gold. You're on your way. And you might have a couple of hiccups along the road. And the last time I checked, when you're walking around, you get a hiccup. It kind of stuns you for a second. It's kind of a weird noise. You know, you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Right? It's kind of like a little stumbling block for a split second in life. Okay, you're going to have some hiccups. Got it. But the bottom line is you're on your way. You're heading towards the kingdom. And you might have to go through troubles. You might have to go through some up and downs. But the encouragement is that you will carry on. You will get through them. And so here you have the disciples, and they were strengthening the hearts of the people, Paul and Barnabas, encouraging them just to keep on in the faith. You just don't know what's around the corner, but you do know who's around the corner, and he's already there, and there's no fear for thinking about being just comfortable and peaceful in him. He will help you through it. Don't be afraid. It's going to get better because God will make it better. You watch. Trust. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by he must increase ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things I need to tell you. These are some pretty cool things. So you heard in the first segment that Easton Scott is at home. Yay! I'm so happy for them, and I'm just so blessed. I do want to make you aware of something else. So we have ministry partners, and Bobby just called in, and you just almost think like the Lord set this up or something. So we have ministry partners, and what that means is if you have a business or something you're trying to promote, we'll promote it, okay? And we're not going to tell you how much to give. What we do is how we do it with our ministry partners, with everybody, is we say, hey, make a donation to the ministry. It's 100% tax deductible. You send us any information via email or phone call or whatever, and we'll promote your business on the radio show, and then you make a donation. We give what's called a suggested. Here's some of our suggestions on what you can give. If you want to give $1 trillion, that'd be great, but we're not expecting that. And some people might really, you think I'm kidding, you'd be wrong. Some people might want to give $200, $400, $800, $1,600, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You tell us, this is what we're trying to do, this is what we're trying to accomplish, and we're gonna contribute, and we're gonna honor whatever that is for whatever the amount is. We just ask you to just do it before the Lord. And why does that matter? Because somebody like Kimberly Ellis is a perfect example. We're not gonna do the music, I'm just gonna tell you what happened. So we talked about her yesterday. And guess what happened? Somebody reached out to her from the show. Now, she's a real estate agent. And she's very knowledgeable about real estate. And she made a connection with somebody. And what's important to us is that the Christian community connects and helps other people within the framework of the community. So we'll tell you, look, if you want to get in touch with Kimberly, you can go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. You can connect to her through the link, or you can call her directly, 903-48-HOMES. It's 903-48-HOMES. Doesn't cost you any money to do it. No requirement. You're not obligated to her. You're not required to use her services. We simply want to promote within the Christian community, Christians helping other Christians, do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith. It's not complex. And she contributes, or she makes a donation, and we do a commercial for her, and we do announcements for her. And we'll try to help you in whatever it is you're doing, as long as whatever it is you're doing does not have to come under the that's questionable theory. I don't want
somebody going, we're trying to create nitroglycerin. It's like, don't do that. Okay, don't do stuff like that. Don't ask us to do stuff like that. Keep it simple. Keep it for the people of faith. Let it be a blessing. Offer to be a blessing. It's one of the greatest truths there is.
If you want to have friends, be a friend. If you want to be blessed, bless people. Okay, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. Which, of course, leads us into, if you go to hemustincrease.org, you are welcome to contribute without having any ministry partnership to our ministry, to keep the radio show going and to keep us moving forward. And we're getting closer to reaching our goal for March, and I think it's great because we've only been talking to you about it for a week and a half, and we're almost halfway there already, and it's only the 11th. So I don't want to bug you all the time. I don't want to ask for – I hate asking for money. Unless it's from my kids, then for some reason I feel it's perfectly acceptable revenge. But outside of that, I hate doing it, but we need to do it in order to move forward because we're out of plastic. We have no other way to do what we're doing, so we need your help. And it's that simple. So you can always go to hemustincrease.org and contribute whatever you feel is appropriate. You're welcome to contact us. David@hemustincrease.org, talk about ministry partnerships, and you're also welcome to get in touch with Kimberly and tell her how much you appreciate that she's offering herself to help people, and it's a blessing. And I think stuff like that is cool. And it's cool because yesterday Kimberly had a reach out and Johnny had a shout out, and you can have a step out right now if that's what you're comfortable with. Like that? Was that a good one? Step out, reach out, shout out. See, the problem, folks, is in my mind, it doesn't end. This is the problem. All right. We're going to talk in the fourth segment. This is the second segment. In the fourth segment, I'm going to talk about something you've never heard me talk about in regards to witnessing. In the next segment, we're going to talk about Mephibosheth. If you can say that 50 times fast, that'd be impressive. Right now, I just want to talk about the simplicity of understanding that heaven is God's house. So in people's minds, they keep thinking, well, heaven is this, you know, heaven, it has no time. So that's like a fantasy thought about heaven, even though Revelation chapter 7 and 8 clearly state that there's going to be 30 minutes of silence in heaven. The idea is that people make stuff up in their minds. Well, instead of making stuff up in your minds, it's probably better to connect to him whose house it is. Heaven is God's house, and God doesn't make any apologies for telling you, look, heaven is my house. This is you're on earth. You're not in heaven. Heaven's my house. You come to my house, you're coming in my door. Tip. There's no other, you're thinking, well, I want to come in some other way. Nobody comes and visits my wife and I and tells me, hey, we're going through the roof and we're gonna just kind of push through the roof and we're going to go through your attic and we're going to end up in your living room. No, you're not. If you're coming to my house, you're coming to the door that I tell you, be it the garage or the front door. I'm telling you about the time you're coming, or you better let me know. And if you're dropping by, you better be polite about it. It's like the whole process of what I'm trying to say is heaven is God's house. And so the idea is, well, there's all these different ways to heaven. According to who? That's the only question. According to who? So I had this theology discussion with a guy at lunch, and he said, in my mind, heaven is going to be, you know, when I die, I'm just going to make it this and this. And I mean, he's kind of doing all this genie stuff. And I just said, dude, when you die, you're really going to be dead. and you're not going to determine anything. And he was like, well, I wasn't really trying to say, yeah, you were trying to say, you were trying to kind of scoot around it. And here's the bottom line. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. All the prophets testify about Jesus that through his name, everyone who believes in Jesus will receive forgiveness of sins. You want to be forgiven of your sins? You want to spend time in God's house? You want to go into his holy property? Got to do it through Jesus Christ. And you think, well, that's just arrogant. That's just what you say. It's not what I say. What I say is irrelevant. What I think is irrelevant, what I tell you in regards to things are irrelevant. But if God wants to communicate something with mankind, he has the capacity to write a book. If he can create the universe, he better be able to write a book. Or let's all quit right now and go home and go play with our ball because there's nothing left. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. I appreciate that people want there to be a multiplicity because man loves the idea of diversity and creating his own pathways and charting his own territory. Awesome. But you're not going to heaven your way. You either go to heaven God's way or you don't go. There's an old Jewish proverb about it's a classic one about a rabbi talking about people worshiping God. And he just simply says, you worship God your way. I'll worship God his way. Get it? That's a key right there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Why is that important? Because we need somebody to represent humanity to God and somebody to represent God to humanity. The only person in all of history that has made the claim ever to be divine and human together is Jesus Christ, born of the Holy Spirit, God, and of Mary, man. And that's why things like, well, the virgin birth, why is that important? Because if he wasn't born as in the humanity side, he could not represent us. And if he wasn't born of the Holy Spirit, he could not represent God, the Father. Couldn't do it. He's got to be of both natures. So there's one mediator. One. And you think, well, there are all these different people. And what are you trying to say? More people are going to go to hell than go to heaven? Yes. I didn't say it. Jesus said, wide is the road to destruction. Narrow is the path on those who are going to make it. Like, what? Because this whole thing is not about how many God gets at the end versus how many follow Satan into darkness. This is about who God wants to spend eternity with. And this is about fellowshipping with God for all of time, not whose numbers are better. This is the problem with people that are like, well, my good works outweigh my bad works. Well, you have at least 292,000 bad works. I doubt you have 292,000 good works, but it wouldn't matter because it only takes one sin to separate you from God because he's holy. And the only way to bridge that gap of holy is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when you accept by faith, receive by faith the gift that God gave, the grace extended to you of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when you acknowledge that testimony, surrender that testimony, yield to that testimony, and tell God, I am your servant, you are Lord, then that righteousness of Jesus Christ gets poured upon you in the eyes and mind of God, and when he deals with you in the realm of righteousness and not judgment. And that goes for all eternity. It's like, whoa. Oh, Dave, that's some tough stuff. It is. But it's the greatest swap ever. Totally righteous and holy for totally unrighteous and totally unholy just by faith. I say yes. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help.
And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which takes about 25 to 30 minutes long. It takes about 30 minutes to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So here's a lesson for pastors and preachers everywhere. Jesus said everything he wanted to say on the Sermon on the Mount in 30 minutes. Paul took 12 hours. God didn't record a single word.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Amazing grace. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to get some of our music, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com for free and download. Click on the button that says Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N. That's the way to do it. You're welcome to call the show. We got a trivia question coming up. 972-445-0770. I promise I won't bite your head off. Maybe. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Most everything, though, is on HeMustIncrease.org. I mean, just the way that we've done it. We're not going to do any of the music play on this one, I've got to tell you. So here's something you guys might not even know. Do you know today is the 11th of March? Okay, now watch. Tomorrow is the 12th. Good, Dave. That's good. That's really good. A week from tomorrow, you know what that is? Any idea? That's our one-year anniversary, a week from tomorrow.
Well, I'm glad it's not this Friday because that's Friday the 13th.
Okay, it's not this Friday. Johnny's coming out here this Friday. That's show number 250. I have all these things tracked down. I'm so bad. I know all those things. But you know who's going to most likely be on the show to share his testimony, not just talk about his business, but to share his testimony, is Clint. And we're gonna have Clint come on, and he's got cool testament. I'm trying to coordinate that. Try not to put the pressure on. It's not very nice. We can play his music though. Let's play that, and then I'll talk about what we're gonna do.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir. When there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Right. For any fire and water damage cleanup, sewage clean removal, smoke, wind, flood cleanup, Clint, your man, Mr. Restore's your company, MrRestore.com. So Clint is a very committed brother in the Lord, and he works with the Adaptive Training Foundation, which they help people that have one, two, three, or four limbs that are missing. And those people, and I just want you to kind of take a second and just think about this. If you had no arms, or you had one arm and one leg, it's hard. It's hard. Well, the Adaptive Training Foundation helps these people. Instead of giving them a tissue and saying life is miserable, they give them a drive, a purpose, and a function. And so the Adaptive Training Foundation is all committed to helping these people have a life. And Clint and Mr. Restore are committed to supporting them, and Clint's a part of their board. And we think it's excellent that they do that. My wife and I support it, and we just strongly believe that giving people that kind of drive and that kind of hope, that's digging into the deepest part of humanity and people that have absolutely no reason to keep going and giving them purpose. And it's just like, that's cool stuff. Well, the guy that's helping that ministry flourish in Texas, he got something to say, and I want to give him the room to say it. And it just—it's just one of those wonderful things. If you need their business, they're the best. There's thousands of people that love their business, and if you want to hear a great testimony, got to check us out a week from tomorrow. And hopefully, we're getting Clint to get on there. Their commitment to not just to business excellence, but to ministry excellence is at the top. Total quality. Okay. All right. I hope that professor doesn't dislike me. I'm apologizing before I start the class. I don't know if that's such a good idea. Yeah, what are you going to do? Once you send the email, you can't hit unsent. So keep that in mind for people that text, especially my kids. Let's do our next trivia, and then we're going to get into Mephibosheth. One of the great, great stories in the Old Testament. Okay, here it is. All right. Simple question. You will know this, but it's the follow-up question that's going to be the challenge, but it's okay. All right. The Magi, the Magi, the wise men. From what direction did they come? Okay. Just that. That's the question. 972-445-0770. Bobby already called in, gave us an answer, stood right up there because he's a man who believes that the Word of God is where you stand in it and walk by the power of the Spirit. I'm asking you, do you know from what direction the wise men came, the Magi, what direction they come? 972-445-0770 if you think you know what direction they came from. And don't say outer space because that doesn't count. Okay? That's where I come from, not where Rails comes from. All right, we're going to get into Mephibosheth, but somebody's already calling in, so we're going to have to wait. That's right, I could come from outer space. You don't know. Well, my parents told me I did anyway, so let me just say that. All right, here we go. We got our caller, and ready? And this is David. Who am I talking to?
Deborah.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. You got to make sure your radio's not on. I got a little wind coming back on your sound there. It's either a window or a radio. It's just a little staticky.
It's my phone.
Oh well, you can't do much about the phone. All right, my friend, where did the wise men come from? What direction?
I believe it was the east, wasn't it?
That is correct, sir. All right, you ready for a quick follow-up question? You don't have to know it, but I'll just ask you. How many wise men were there?
Oh, was it three?
Well, that's a trick question because I was being funny. It's traditionally thought three because they had gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but we don't really know if it was three. We don't know if 10 of them had gold and 10 of them had incense and 10 of them had myrrh. So we assumed that it was three because of the three gifts. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in your direction. Good job, though, my friend. Excellent. You are 100% correct. Thank you, brother. Okay, there you go. The wise men. And then for those that are really into this, you know, what's the gold? What's the frankincense and what's the myrrh? Possible the gold is for a king. Possible the incense is for a priest, the frankincense. And possible the myrrh is for preparation for death. Those are all possibilities. They're all traditional thoughts. Nothing scriptural because also given to the king, if you remember, the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon tons of incense and tons of different things of that nature. And so you can't say that that's an absolute, but it's fun to think about it. All right, let's do something we haven't talked about ever before on this show, Mephibosheth. Say that fast. Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Okay? Now, I remember hearing this preached from North Phoenix Baptist Church 40 years ago. And why I remember it is because, one, that's the most bizarre name of all, Mephibosheth. And number two, the way the pastor connected Mephibosheth to us, that we are also often lame in our feet. And we don't really have the ability to walk without help. I thought, wow. That is great. 2 Samuel 9, 6 through 7. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, fell at his feet, and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth, here I am as your servant. David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for you and for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly. Here's something that is amazing. Now watch this connection. This is what the pastor preached on. Just love this stuff. So he calls Mephibosheth by name. Mephibosheth is a child of Jonathan. David made a covenant with Jonathan to take care of his family. Calls him by name. His response was, you know, what do you want, my king? The response from the king was, do not be afraid. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to continually come before the king's table. And you and I are Mephibosheth through Jesus. He's the king. We're lame in our feet. And he, through his redemptive power, brings us, is that cool or what, to the table of the king so we can eat. He takes care of us. He restores things that we lose. He strengthens us. He brings us back. He gives us eternal life. He pours blessing upon us. You are Mephibosheth. You're going to get to heaven, and you're going to go, oh, who's that guy? That guy just dancing all around. That guy's dancing like her. That's Mephibosheth. And you're going to go, wow, that's you before King Jesus. You're lame. You can't walk right. You need help. Well, guess what? He knows your name. He's going to help you. You don't have to be afraid. He's going to bring you before the king's table. He's going to provide for you. He's going to restore. This isn't pie in the sky. This is a archetype. This is a pre-runner. This is a foreshadowing of what Jesus does for us in 2 Samuel. The gospel in the New Testament often talk about different nuances of the Old Testament declaring the gospel ahead of time. This is one of those. It's a foreshadowing of the gospel redemptive story in Mephibosheth and David. Only it's you and Jesus. And even though you can't always walk right, or you don't always walk right, maybe even you're lame, maybe you got something that's really bad. He knows your name. His response to you is, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm for you. You're going to continually eat at my table. I'm going to restore your land. I'm going to bless your life. I'm going to give you things you can't even imagine. And the rest of Mephibosheth's days were blessed. Like, just like before, I'll take it. I'll have one, please. You know, it's just like that attitude. And it's like, yes, through Jesus. You get that. Isn't that cool? That is cool. All right, I'm going to take a break, and then I got just this wild thing to share with you. All right, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever, next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off, Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that. It was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just so that you know, I really appreciate
it. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
it was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So, anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
If Jesus was like me.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That silence was on purpose. That's all I'm going to go with. You like that? That's a good way to do that. Website, hemustincrease.org. Email, David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, YouTube, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. So I had something happen kind of yesterday and kind of like last week, and I kind of want to bring it into this scriptural reference. I went to the gym yesterday. Now, that in and of itself is a miracle. It's fantastic. And I've been walking with these guys, and one of them is very committed, Bible-believing, born-again Christian. The other guy is not. Okay. And they've invited me into their walking crew, you know, like walking, power walking kind of thing on the treadmills. And I've had this chance to observe the one Bible believing guy sharing with one guy that's not a believer. And it's been fascinating because I'm asking the Lord, I'm trying not to, you believe it or not, I go into these situations, I try to say nothing. In fact, I think that's probably the most miraculous part is I'm trying to say nothing. I'm just walking. I'm just walking fast. Now I'm walking fast with a cramp. You know, it's like that kind of thing. So they're talking to one another. And what I noticed is this portion in Acts that I'm in my devotions, which I think is no coincidence that I read it today, had this experience yesterday. So yesterday at 4:30, I'm walking with these guys, listening to them, and then here I am in Acts chapter 17 today. I mean, only God could coordinate that. And it says this. This is Acts 17, 21 through 23. Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling and hearing something new. Paul stood in the middle of the council and said, "Men of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect, for I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship. I even found an altar on which was inscribed to an unknown god. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I will proclaim to you." So you think, well, oh, my goodness, what does that have to do with anything? Because what Paul did, instead of insulting the people at Athens, which he easily could have done, okay? He could have just said, "Oh, you're a bunch of idol worshipers, you're a bunch of dummies," right? Could have done that. No, it would have been true. He didn't do that. He made this observation. He says, "I see, I understand." And another text says, "I observe. You're extremely religious in every respect." It's amazing that he was as respectful and restrained as he was. And then he goes on to explain to them, "You're worshiping an unknown God. I'm going to share with you what that is." Why that's fascinating is because this is Acts 17. In Acts 13, when Paul was talking to the people at Antioch, he used Old Testament scriptures to make his case. Here in Acts 17, he doesn't. He doesn't use any scripture. He talks about how cool Jesus is. And I'm looking at this thinking, I think what's happened for a lot of us in our walk is we rarely look for open doors to participate. We need to be looking for more opportunities to share what God has done in our lives. And then we rarely know, you know, well, I'm going to use the Romans road, or I'm going to do the 7 points that I'm going to communicate, and I don't know if I'll, or 7 seeds, and I don't know if my seed will be the first seed or the 7th seed, but I'm just going to participate that way. And I think what we're all trying to do when we do that is follow a structure that somebody lays out for us that has to do with how you witness. And I think while the 4 spiritual laws is cool, and I think it's cool, and I think that Jack Chick, who did the tracks, cool, I think it's great. I don't care if people dislike him. But I think you can get so caught up in a formulation of sharing Christ that you miss the opportunity, the open door that's set before you. Paul could have just gone to the Old Testament and started telling all of these people in Athens, "You're a bunch of dummies. You should know this is true." But guess what? The people in Athens, the Epicureans, and the Stoic philosophers, they didn't believe in the Old Testament. So quoting the Old Testament wasn't going to help. So instead of quoting and laying his case in the Old Testament scripture, you know what Paul did? He just said, "Jesus, the dude resurrected." This is like they were all like going, "What? What is that?" So they weren't following a principle of law. They weren't following a principle of laying this foundation. In Acts 13, Paul does exactly that and goes through the whole Old Testament, walks them through. But in Acts 17, he doesn't do that. And why I think that's important is because we don't always have to have this schematic to share Christ. You don't have to be this brilliant theologian to share Christ. You got to have 2 things. You got to have a willingness, and you got to not be ashamed of what the Lord's done in your life. Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." You may, for some people, want to have, if scripture's their authority, go back and show how Christ is the Messiah, starting with Genesis, going all the way through. Then maybe that works. And then with other people, you can go, "The dude resurrected. He lives. There is no tomb. It's empty." And that's it. And if you want to keep it even simpler, for some of you who are witnessing, you just need to go, "You know what? My life was a mess, and I became a Christian. And then I asked God, you know what? My life's a mess, but I need somebody to walk with me in this process. And all of a sudden, I knew that he was with me." It might be something as dumb as you think, well, that's just dumb. That's just simplified. That might be all a person needs to hear. I think what we've done is we've – I don't know how to say this. We've made this more theological than we need to. I got a message for you. If we're available and we're not ashamed and we're not kind of stuck in a formula, you'd probably get a lot farther. Because Scripture shows sometimes it comes through the reasoning of Scripture. Sometimes it comes just by sharing. What about the guy in the tombs? I'm going to go with when he shared his testimony with the people in Decapolis, which is the 10 cities. I'm going to go with he didn't walk through a theological treaty going through 1 Samuel and going through the Psalms. I bet he was like, I was a nutcase in the tombs. Jesus came and cast a spirit out of me. I'm fine. I bet that was the extent of his testimony. By the way, the Scripture says everybody who heard his testimony was amazed. And see, we think, well, it's got to have this. No, I think you have to just tell him what Jesus did. Change my life. That's what he did. You think, well, shouldn't it be more theological? I don't know. Maybe. Sometimes, I guess. But sometimes you just tell him what happened. What about the woman at the well? There's another perfect example. Go get your husband. The guy I'm with is not my husband. And yeah, and Jesus goes, that's right. You've been married 5 times. And truth be told, you're just kind of winging it. She's like, oh, my goodness. Well, the Messiah. He goes, I'm the Messiah. She goes back to town. Go meet this guy. He told me everything I ever did. I mean, that was the extent of the theology. Then they came out and heard Jesus. And guess what? A lot of those people believed just because she shared what happened to her. Why I'm bringing that up is because we need to be looking for those open doors and make ourselves available. We just don't need to be theologians to be a part of it. You don't have to know every nuance. You don't have to know everything. You know what God has done in your life. Share that. You know the first time, the early times, especially in Christianity, when everything you ever prayed came. The honeymoon period. Everything you prayed happened instantly or something. It was like, great, so many great graces. Share that. One time, this absolute truth. One time I was getting ready to look for a job, and I picked up the newspaper, and I said, Lord, you tell me that you will answer my prayers. I pray you bring me a job. I'm not even going to look at this paper. Put the paper down, walked out the front yard. The landscaper for the house was there. He goes, Dave, you need a job? I'm like, yes, and that's an answer to prayer. And I worked for that guy for 2 years. Ben, that was his name. Nice guy. Here's the bottom line. Just share it. Just tell people. A lot of people in this world just need to know that there's a real hope. Well, share what happened to you. You don't have to be a theologue. You can just be a person. I'm not sure a theologue is a person. I haven't decided that yet. Listen, just share the love. That's all you got to do. You don't have to go much further than that. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.